Please don't let anyone see me. Please don't let anyone see me. Minori thinks that to herself over and over. She has no idea where she's going, nor any idea of how she got to where she is now. Yet somehow, before she knows it, she's standing in front of her room. She unlocks her door with automatic, nearly reflexive motions. Thank goodness, there's no one else in the room. Right, she remembered Nana mentioning she was going to watch a romance movie with some of the other rookies, and he usually is late because of Type 8 Special Enhancement Gears Inspection. As she realizes that, all the stress drains from her body, and with that, the throbbing she'd suppressed and ignored for so long washes over her body in waves. It's fine now, she can do whatever she wants right here! Minori takes off her clothes so quickly it's almost like they were burning her. She developed this habit from all her experience from pleasuring herself in the bathroom. The stink of her sweat would soak into her clothes, so she learned to take them all off first. But the moment she stands naked, her actions shock herself. What am I doing? Her inferiority complex about her looks has always made her bashfully hide herself from her two roommates whenever she had to change. And yet now she's doing this. It's shameful, even if neither of them are here right now. But the moment she automatically tries to hide her breasts and privates with her hands, when her hands brush against her erect nipples and clit, a sweet moan escapes her lips. Lewd nectar flows from her crotch down her thighs. She can't put her clothes back on like this. The stench of her womanly juices would soak into them. She'd have to throw them into the trash. Minori hurriedly stuffs them into the room's laundry machine. She then crawls, still naked, into her bunk, the middle one. Curling up under the thin blanket to hide her body, she begins comforting her aroused privates. I can't help myself. My sheets are gonna get all wet. I have to finish this quickly. Pushing through her moist, sticky pubes, she finally plunges her fingers into her expectant vagina while using the other hand to tease her clit. Incredible. My pussy feels like it's melting. The moment she speaks, some part of her feels like this is all wrong, but the pleasure and arousal completely overcome that shame. She's doing this to finish this as soon as possible, so she has to. I can't believe how swollen my clit is. It's so obscene. I'm such an obscene woman. This is so embarrassing. My pussy's sopping wet. The perception that she's doing something forbidden only adds a naughty twinge of guilty pleasure. This is bad. It's obscene. Everything she's saying is wrong, yet there's no opposing her body's burning lust. Minori's nude, sweaty body rides on top of the bed. Even the way the fabric of her blanket rubs against her erect nipples grants her carnal pleasure. Her body spasms in delight. Her hand latches onto her clitoris, pushing two fingers into her vagina and churning herself up, causing hot love juices to noisily ooze out. Don't pinch my clit like that. My pussy feels good too. Churn me up. Sounds and scents swirl under her blanket. The mixture of her lewd voice and the splashing of liquid fills her ears. Hearing herself say such obscene words arouses her further. Even as some part of her thinks it's wrong, she can't stop running her mouth. I'm already in. Come to me, Matsumi. Finish my horny pussy off with your thing. She fumbles at her chest out of habit, but she can't find her encased wand. She took it off along with her uniform. But just then, she hears the door open. For just one moment, she panics, but then the thought that she has to finish this as soon as possible overcomes her. Anything and everything else is unthinkable. Twisting her throbbing body, Minori earnestly fingers herself. It feels like she's on the verge of coming, but she just can't get there. This isn't enough. It's so hot. It's not enough. I want something thicker, harder. I want more. I want more. The girth and heat of Callahan's cock surfaces in her mind. If she had that, she could orgasm. No, not that, but I'm going crazy. I'm going gonna go crazy, but I don't want that. Do you want something thicker and harder? Minori nods desperately and then... Ayusha! Standing next to her bed is Yusha. Unlike Minori, Yusha is still clad in uniform. Minori! You really were suffering this entire time. No, I'm just... This is just a little... Ah! Ayusha pulls away the blanket, exposing the shameful state of Minori's aroused nude body. Don't look at me. I'm not this kind of person. I'm not! Minori curls up on the bed and fearfully turns towards the wall, trying to hide her chest and crotch. However, she can't hide the scent of her sweat and love juices. Throbbing inside her body just won't stop, causing her vagina to continue drooling incessantly. You don't have to hide it. I don't think any less of you for this, and I'm not going to try to take advantage of this and blackmail you or something. I'm in the same boat as you, you know. As if to prove her words, Ayusha begins to strip in front of Minori's eyes. Ayusha's body is pretty as ever. Whenever she stands naked, Minori feels like she can see some kind of aura of beauty emanating from her. By comparison, Minori thinks of her own pathetically aroused body, her unshapely breasts, her dirty pubic hair, her stubby legs. Comparing herself to Yusha's beauty only makes her feel even more wretched. It seems like you're under the impression that you're ugly or something. And I shouldn't have to tell you this, but you're a pretty girl in your own right, Minori. Ayusha approaches the bed, boldly sliding her body onto it. With Minori curled up like she is, it's almost as though Ayusha is pushing her down against it. I don't need your pity. I know, okay? I'm ugly and filthy, and I'm indecent on top of that, and... Ayusha's lips feel gentle and soft. The idea of rejecting them melts away from Minori's mind, and soon she lets Ayusha have her way. Don't worry, you're pretty. No, Ayusha! Ayusha's sweet tongue gently parts Minori's lips. It slipped into her mouth, gently caressing her cowering tongue. Minori, my rigid, diligent first lieutenant. It's a light, gentle kiss, the polar opposite of the forceful one Callahan stole from Minori earlier. Feels like her mind is going numb. It leaves her feeling utterly bewildered. Why? I'm so much uglier than you, Ayusha. I'm dirty and defiled. For one brief moment, Yusha's fair features contort into a frown, as if she's wondering how Minori could be so ignorant. Now listen here, you call yourself defiled, but compared to the things I did back in the day, One minute, folks. Huh? Ayusha shakes her head, as if to say it doesn't matter. Look, I've already given up on the real world. I know what things are really like. You could probably say that my heart is already what you would call filthy and defiled. But you're not. You're so much purer than I am. Softness once again settles over Minori's lips. It doesn't satisfy the less throbbing inside her, though it does soothe that primal hunger a little. Feeling her warm tongue slither into her mouth, Minori timidly coils her own tongue around it. Yeah. Like that. That's good. Ayusha, You're so gentle. Before long, their tongues engage in a passionate dance. The fear and anxiety that left Minori's body taut now melt away. Her body settles perfectly beneath the Yusha's. When they finally break their kiss, a strand of saliva bridges the two sets of petals that are their lips. Ah, but why? Why are you so nice to me? I wouldn't be doing this if you were ugly or filthy, would I? No, there really aren't many things in this world that are truly ugly. Ayusha's erect nipples press against Minori's own aching breasts. Don't push against my nipples like that. But rubbing them is the best thing to do when they're hard. It feels good, doesn't it? Going nice and slow feels great. Ayusha's petite soft breasts lay gently over Minori's own bosoms, pushing gently against them. Beads of sweat form over both of their chests. I can't stop moaning. I'm not this kind of woman, really. I can't believe I'm letting you see me like this. Slender fingers run across Minori's aroused vagina, gently caressing it. Don't worry. I know, we get like this after battles. And besides you, someone attacked you, didn't they? That's not your fault. Those men are strangely good at that. Her slender fingers run over her slit gently and smoothingly, as if to comfort it after Hal Callahan mistreated her earlier. Wait, did someone treat you like that too, Ayusha? Don't tease my pussy so much. I can't stop my voice. I don't want you to hear me like this. Something soft and moist pleasantly touches Minori's slit. I'm not teasing you. We're just making each other feel good. See, when we rub our clits together like this... Minori feels something hard and yet also somehow soft press and rub against her clitoris. Ayusha, is this your... I can't believe I'm doing this with a girl. Their bodies and lips overlap. It feels like they become one being. The scent of the two aroused women's passion begins filling the room. Yeah, Minori, you're adorable, so you can be a little more confident. Ayusha and Minori rub their vaginas against one another, pleasuring each other by doing so. Their genitals cling to each other, kissing loudly. I'm feeling too hot. I can't help myself. You're a bully, Ayusha. You bully? Minori starts awkwardly bucking her hips too, rubbing the butt of her clitoris against Ayusha's. Looks like you're starting to get in the mood, Minori. You're rubbing against me too now. Ayusha curves her beautiful form back and starts bucking her hips wildly, stroking her vagina harder against Minori's. So rough. Don't rub it like that. I can't. I don't know what's going on anymore. Minori is being overwhelmed. Another girl, and one that's so much prettier than her, than at that, is treating her like this without looking down on her, in a way they both enjoy. And what's more, it's completely different from the forceful assault from earlier. It's gentle, yet still passionate and intense. It doesn't hurt. You don't have to understand. Even if you don't understand, this still feels good. We still feel good. Yeah, it feels good, but doing it in a place like this, we're supposed to fight here. Minori's mind is still bogged down by the shame towards this pleasure. It's an unconscious terror, fear at the prospect of entering a new world. But the CC tissue in her belly throbs happily at this sensation. As she rubs her privates against Yusha's, a sweet numbness fills her. Her body's already accepting this. It's fine. It's fine. There's nothing wrong about this. We're allowed to enjoy this, even if you're a rigid first lieutenant or an idol that flopped. Ayusha locks her lips with Minori's again. As Ayusha's warm tongue parts the other woman's lips, Minori simply accepts and lets it happen. It feels so good. You taste so nice. The warm tongue coiling around her melts away the last vestiges, of her reservation. This is good. She's allowed to enjoy this. Minori begins to timidly thrust her groin against Ayusha's. Ayusha's beautiful bosom shake and jiggle in front of her eyes. Like that. This feels so good. Yes, Minori. Good. This is so good. Good. This is so good. This is good. It feels good. Moving on her own makes the fear rapidly fade away. Yusha's body, her warmth, the moist softness of her genitals, they all feel so lovely and pleasant to Minori. She feels liberated. The lips of their genitals mingle and intertwine. Their red swollen folds snuggle together, bathing each other with their love juices. Minori, you're so cute, you're so pretty. She's saying, you're so cute, you're so pretty, you're beautiful. No, if you tell me that, I might believe you. I'm not pretty, but don't look at me. As Minori's belly burns with heat, an impulse surges within her. What if she sees a Yusha climax? Minori's already on the cusp of orgasm, but her partner is so beautiful that the prospect fills her with fear. It's okay, Minori. You're beautiful. Don't hold back. All girls are pretty, you know? You're gonna come, right? You wanna come? Come. That's the same word Kellyanne was trying to get her to say, the same word she'd ardently avoid saying. I'm gonna come, but no, I can't. I can't say that word right. Come, I'm gonna come, I'm gonna come. Something overflows inside Minori. Her sweat-drenched body arches and arcs in spasms. Gonna come. Come. I'm gonna come. You look so cute when you come, Minori. Yes, you're adorable. You're so cute. Ah, Minori, Minori, Minori! Ayusha rubs her beautiful pale body against Minori. The very next moment, she starts shaking, too. Ah, coming! Ah! Their moans of rapture harmonize with each other, echoing in the room before finally fading away. Their exhausted bodies press against each other as they languidly try to catch their breaths. The feminine, alluring scent of Yusha's sweat fills Minori's lungs. Her warmth, softness, and weight press against her. Aha, so how did you like it? I kind of forced you into it. Sorry, but with this, you were just a victim, so don't feel guilty about it. Minori is unsure of what she should say. She doesn't want to blame Yusha for this. If she has to blame anyone, she'd rather blame herself for accepting it. She can't believe she did this with her own roommate, and even now, just feeling her body against her own feels so good. A man abused and took advantage of her. She watched Cersei and the deputy commander have sex, and then Yusha caught her while masturbating, leading to... So you are regretting this. Huh? I'm sorry. I don't really know, but I don't blame you for this one bit. This wasn't like when she was afraid of getting caught masturbating in the bathroom, and it was different from when Callahan forced himself on her, too. For the first time, Minori truly and honestly enjoyed the act of sex, but Mitsumi's face comes to mind. He should be a thing of the past by now, a past she can't return to. She'll never meet him again. But she now realizes that she really did love Mitsumi. This realization has come far too late. Oh ho, so, you had a guy you were into, but knowing you and how much of a stick in the mud you are, you probably figured you'd never go back to Earth, so you never had sex with him, right? That's exactly what happened. She starts to deny it, but eventually relents and decides to admit it. Ayusha has seen her at a time like this, and even in a matter of speaking, gone so far as to save her when she was completely lost. Hiding the truth from her feels wrong. Honest, aren't you? Then I guess it's my time to be honest. Thank you, Minori. Minori stares at Ayusha's face, clueless as to what she's being thanked for. Ayusha looks away, an awkward blush on her cheeks. When they told me to stand up and put that thing on while everyone was watching, you were the only who complained. You're the only one who complained, and that made me happy. No, I just... anyone would have done that. I just happened to be the first one to speak up. Being the first to speak up is pretty hard, you know. Even when I just went with the flow and let them do whatever they wanted. Look, I really don't know what to say. All of a sudden, Minori feels awfully embarrassed about the fact that they're snuggled against each other, naked in the same bed. She can't bring herself to look at Ayusha's face. And now you're acting awkward. Come on, what's the point? 5 minutes ago, we were scissoring for fuck's sake. It's like, don't say it like that. That's dirty, even if it's true. Ayusha only teasingly said that in an attempt to change the subject because she noticed how embarrassed Minori is. But she still feels awkward. But let me tell you something, you little shrinking violet. Stuff like what we just did, that's becoming pretty normal. Yes, I know. But I think I prefer men for the most part. Ayusha smiles for some reason. Seeing that confuses Minori. No, that's not what I mean. I'm not talking about how 1 in 10 people are gay by nature or anything like that. I mean, here on this base. So even if it goes against your regular sexual tendencies, you shouldn't feel bad about it. Huh? You mean there's a lot of lesbians on this base? Look, when we come back from battle, our bodies feel like they're on fire. We want sex, and some girls prefer to do it with other girls they're close to rather than do it by themselves or get done by some nasty man. I mean, it's more relaxing that way. Really? Thinking of it that way, Minori feels like she could see this as part of her duties. But doing it now felt gentle and comforting. It felt so good. So just shrugging it off as part of her duties feels like it's being rude to Yusha. But suddenly Minori realizes something odd about what Yusha just said. Get done by a man. Don't tell me. The memories of what Callahan did to her flash vividly in her mind. I told you, our bodies feel like fire when we get back. We're aroused and vulnerable, so it's easy for them to make a pass at us. Some girls end up saying yes, and others just go somewhere inconspicuous where a man can peg them. Minori's heart burns with anger. It's the same indignation she felt when Ayusha was being publicly shamed. So it's not just her, they're doing it to everyone else. That's unforgivable. This just can't pass. Did they do that to you, Ayusha? Or Nana? Ayusha looks at her, her expression clearly exasperated. I mean, someone made a pass at you too, right? Though I guess they didn't go all the way. I'm surprised whoever did had the balls to lay hands on you, though. Laying hands? Damn. What does that mean? Girls like you and Geo9's Amandi end up filing complaints if anyone attacks them. It's more trouble than it's worth, so when it comes to girls like you, the men tend to be relatively docile. Amandi Kabaki is G9's vanguard attacker, another special warfare trooper who fills roughly the same role as Minori. So with girls like you, so long as you stay away from places where no one can find out about it, you don't have to worry about men trying to... Those cowards taking advantage of people when they're vulnerable is awful enough, but trying to prey on girls that won't fight back is even worse. That's terrible. I'll file a complaint against that bastard. Ayusha lets out a tired sigh. I think reporting him would be a waste of time. Why? Because no complaints have ever been accepted. Not once. March 14th. Why aren't they accepting my complaint? That's the only answer Minori has gotten after over 10 days of waiting. Yusha looks at her sarcastically as if to say, "Told you so." Nana looks shocked that Minori actually went through with the report. That's not to say that they think you're lying in your report. If nothing else, I don't believe that. And it's not that your complaint wasn't accepted. It's just the processing it has been placed on hold. Cersei's voice sounds genuinely apologetic. It does little to calm Minori down, though. Then when will they process it? There's no point complaining to Cersei about it. She's not one of the higher-ups. Nana, they picked on you too, didn't they? It's not just my problem. Well, you see, right now, there aren't any non-essential male officers in the cathedral right now. And at this time of year, it'd be a long while until we get new people coming in. So you see, dismissing Anthony Kellyan from his post will, result in too many problems. Despite appearances, he is one of our most senior officers and he knows the space inside out. While he does have a few disciplinary issues, he's skilled at his job. You call that a few disciplinary issues? What he did to me was indecent. It was attempted rape, no doubt about it. Between that and the countless inappropriate comments he made, he's repeatedly broken military regulations. Cersei looks at her with clear fear and hesitation. Minori can't believe this woman once fought shoulder to shoulder with this base's most veteran hero, Lysette. Seeing this woman, who Minori once thought was admirable, reduced to this kind of person fills her with a sense of disillusionment. I understand, but even so, as shameful as it is, I don't have any authority over this matter. I do sympathize, but my sympathy can't help here. She has lost most of her power as a special warfare trooper. The thought of the things she must do to remain on this base makes Minori slightly regret lashing out at Cersei like this. After all, Minori knows how the deputy commander treated her. And there's no evidence. Minori bitterly bites her lip. Kellyan took her, tore panties with her when he left, and after her act with Yusha, she took a shower, which washed all of his saliva from her body. She should have collected all that evidence as soon as she could. There are no security cameras set up where you claim the attack happened. So there's no footage of them or material evidence to go off of, so... And what about him? What did he have to say? He admitted to having a run-in with you, but he said the argument was due to you not treating him with respect his higher rank demands. You always get really aggressive, Minori. If you just smile and stay quiet, all these awful things wouldn't happen to you. What are you, on his side, Nana? Besides, he started molesting me, so why should I smile and keep quiet? Well, he did. She yelled at me. Minori's angry gaze only makes Cersei's voice sound even more feeble. He said that you insisted on acting defiantly, which made him say some heated things, but he also said that he's offended at the allegations of physical violence. And there's no proof to deny his claims, right? He did everything knowingly. That's vicious. Even Ayusha's assessment sounds entirely indifferent and personal. Like it's none of her business. If it's that way, he ought to be punished for it. I mean, yeah, but bad guys are the ones who always escape punishment, right? You know what they say, bad kids sleep best. Are you serious? It's the bad sleep well. As if trying to encourage them, Cersei replies. Don't misunderstand this. I'm not trying to imply you're lying, Miss Izuka. While no disciplinary action has been taken against him yet, there have always been rumors of this sort surrounding him. She then adds, as if trying to smooth over. I'll keep a close eye on him to ensure he doesn't say anything else that might cause any more misunderstandings. But it's clear from her demeanor that it's unlikely she'll do even that. April 1st. When Ayusha leaves the shower room after putting on her special warfare trooper combat uniform, she finds Commander Kinnison already working at his back at his desk. At times like these, she still struggles to bring herself to look him in the eye. She's overcome with embarrassment. Today is especially bad. She asked him of her own free will to put it in her ass. No, to inspect it. It was possible he somehow coaxed her to do it, but she can't tell anymore. In the past, many men have made her into their plaything before, but this is the first time she's ever felt so awkward at taking the lead without being told to do so by the man. She's acted shy before in order to seduce men who were attracted to bashful women, but that was always only ever a performance. Deep inside, her heart was always full of chilling contempt and scorn. She should feel that way towards this man sitting in front of her. He only views Ayusha and the other woman here from a utilitarian standpoint, as soldiers. To him, raping a woman simply means reinforcing her combat potential. He probably treated the other special warfare troopers the same way he treats her, maybe even Minori and Nana too. She knows that, yet still. Is there something on your mind? No. Isn't there something you'd like to ask me? If it's anything I know that can be discussed without breaching military regulations and I deem it worthy to share with you, I'm willing to answer any questions you have. Sir, may I ask you one thing? Ayusha takes a swift but deep breath. She's nervous. Kinnison nods, urging her to continue. She's gonna ask the question. Before I was stationed here, I've seen pictures of you, sir, and we do remember those pictures, but, why does his face look so different from his depictions in propaganda footage? Is that an appropriate question to ask? To begin with, what spurred her to ask that question? She clams up, confused by her own thoughts. 7 years ago, I was injured while inspecting the main anchor. The main anchor, the massive rock the cathedral is built upon. I see. Commander Kinnison smiles for some reason. You're a sharp one, Second Lieutenant. I'd expect most people to find it strange that the base's commander needed to personally attend to such a matter. Being called sharp makes Ayusha feel glad, which only causes some conscious part of her mind to think that it's strange that she's so flattered. 7 years ago, there were only a handful of people stationed here. And still, that's not a duty that a base's commander would attend to. But if only a precious few personnel were seen as trustworthy enough to keep what they found there secret and confidential, the base commander might have had no choice but to participate. You really are a bright one, Second Lieutenant. The main anchor is more than just a foundation to build upon. It's the reason Cathedral remains immobile and fixed in place. Even within a relatively closed space, nothing truly remains completely still. Such are the laws of physics. But the main anchor remains immobile and fixed in front of the pasta tube's exit from the perspective of Earth. On top of that, the anchor produces a gravitational field that reaches a certain range around it. that gravity is far greater than what an object of its mass ought to produce. That gravity applies to the residential block is only quasi-gravity, produced by centrifugal force. But the deployment port and command center are built directly over the main anchor and are subject to true gravitational pull. And what did your inspection discover? We couldn't establish any connection between the main anchor and the CC, or figure out how it works. The only thing we learned is that it's best left untouched. We hoped that we could learn something that would be of use in the war with the CC. Ayusha can see why they chose to hide what happened to him. The refined warrior-like features he used to have are much more dignified and attractive than the face he has now. It is so different from showbiz, all in all. The passage leading into the main anchor's interior is roughly human-sized, which implies it's related to some kind of life form that isn't the CC. But sadly, we're in the middle of a war. We couldn't waste any more resources on investigating a mystery with so few clues. That led to the investigation being suspended, and it remains so to this day. Is that all you wanted to know? Yes. Second Lieutenant, I promised you that if you were to prove successful in your duties, I would tell you why your comrade you saved, Ann Morgan, did not survive. Yes. And so far, you fulfilled your duties admirably. So I was waiting to see when you'd ask about it. Did you assume that my promises were empty? Ayusha feels slightly flustered by this development. She remembers that promise, of course, but every time he called her, he simply slept with... No, he raped her, leaving her to awkwardly leave afterward. She never had a chance to ask. This time, she didn't even bother trying to ask about it. Why not? He even gave her the perfect chance to ask him, saying he would answer anything. Or perhaps he decided you'd rather not know. If that's the case, I won't force you to hear what happened. Ayusha takes a deep breath. I'm prepared to hear it, sir. Second Lieutenant Ann Morgan was indeed alive when you brought her back to base, but the inspection that followed discovered she was incompatible with her Holy Grail. Ayusha's body stiffens. What he just said had an ominous ring to it, like something irreversible had happened to Anne. The CC tissue implanted inside her tore through her uterus and instead attached to her peritoneum. But the uterus is the only organ in the human body the CC tissue can safely attach to. Ayusha remembers how Anne writhed in agony when she saved her. Her special warfare gear was only partially manifested. It was a stage outfit she'd always liked. When attached to any other organ, CC tissue becomes cancerous and begins multiplying at an alarming rate, killing the host. Our medical technology lacks the means to restrain and remove them. At first, we lost a tenth of all cadets to this. By now, we've narrowed it down to below 4%, but... Commander Kinnison gazes into Yusha's eyes and speaks. If you must hate someone for this, hate me, not the CC. His gaze betrays no signs of regret for having disposed of Anna. He only states the facts. He probably truly believes he's the one who needed to be blamed for this. However, Ayusha's heart can't harbor any hatred towards the man in front of her. All she feels is sorrow at having her suspicions confirmed. Why? Why can't she hate this man? This man has raped and toyed with her for the sake of increasing her power. It is no different from the countless rotten composers, producers, presidents, and sponsors she slept with so far. No, in a way, he's even worse than they were. He would go so far as to discard her life for the greater good without batting an eyelash. And despite that... I don't blame you for this, sir. Why did she have to ask him now? If she did this earlier, his confession might have made her hate this ugly man. But now, it was too late. Ayusha shakes her head lightly and salutes, her movements flawless. If you'll excuse me, sir, but as she prepares to leave, wait. Ayusha stops. Commander Kinnison raises to his feet, walks over to her, and gently offers her a handkerchief. Wipe your tears before you leave. Now that he's pointed it out, she finally notices. Warm tears are streaming down her cheeks. She's crying. Once she realizes, there's no holding back the tears anymore. The commander gently wraps his hands around Ayusha's shoulders, leading her back to the sofa. There, he stays by her side until her tears run dry. Feeling the touch of a man's strong hands on her, Ayusha can only look at herself with scorn. Ah, in the end, I was an easy woman all along. April 4th. This is getting interesting, guys. After calling Nana Kisaragi over for a personal meeting, Commander Kinnison gives her a solemn look as he speaks. Second Lieutenant Nana Kisaragi, we'll get that right, It has been decided that in the upcoming general briefing, you will be given the special enhancement gear. Hi. Yes, sir. Nana Kisaragi is unsure of how she's supposed to answer, but she doesn't seem to be confused or unsure about what he just told her. But there should be another matter for her to be called here. So she asks him about it. Commander, sir? You don't have to call me that. Really? I thought you were supposed to call important commander, sir. The commander cracks an uncharacteristically sarcastic smile. The military is like that sometimes. Yes, you had a question? Well, I just figured that since you called me here, it wasn't just for this, so, we're gonna have sex, right? That's quite a thing for her to say to a superior officer, but from Nana's perspective, she's probing him with a carefully worded question to feel out his reaction. What gave you the impression that might be the case? But even stranger is the fact that the commander almost seems amused by her question. It seems he's surprised that Nana would say something like that. The way she asked him that question implies that she came to that conclusion by herself, rather than someone else telling her about it. She somehow surmised that this must be the case. Well, the day before Yusha put on that sex toy, she came back to our room looking really feminine. When Nana saw Yusha that day, she looked a bit exhausted, but satisfied. Minori didn't notice at all, though, and that's fine, Nana thinks to herself. That's part of what she likes about Minori as a person. So I was like, what's this? It looks like you had sex with someone. But who could it be? Upon noticing that Kinnison isn't displeased with her attitude, Nana slips back into her usual casual self. And there were a few more times it happened. And it seemed like she wasn't being forced or anything. It's just like she was going steady with someone. But Ayusha always gives all the guys in the base a cold shoulder. It didn't seem like she could be in that kind of relationship with anyone. But when I saw she was looking at people, I figured it must be you, Commander. And there were other girls who fought and ended up coming, but after that, they started looking like that, too. Looking like what, precisely? Oh, like they fucked a guy. And they looked really satisfied, too, so whoever did it must have been really good. And most of those girls ended up getting that sex toy later. Oh, I'm supposed to call it the special enhancement thingamajig, right? So I figured everyone that gets that thing has that happen to them, like they get ordered to have sex. I see, your reasoning and logic are sound. Assuming your conjecture is true, the next thing that would happen is you'll have sexual intercourse with me. What are your thoughts about that? Satoru always says I'm horny. But I won't do it with just anyone, so honestly, I'm not really happy about it. Nana tells the truth. She feels that she's probably allowed to be frank about this. But the hornier you are, the stronger you get here. So I figured I'd try out all kinds of sex here. That maybe it's okay. I mean, Satoru's not around, and I don't want to die.
So
And when I think about it, if you give a man a, when I think about it, if you give me an order to do it, it's part of my mission. So maybe it'd be better than doing it with anyone else here. And I could say, like, I didn't want to, but the commander ordered me to do it, so I had to. Forgive me, please. And besides, she's honestly interested. This is the man who made Yusha, so she's... who's so obviously frigid toward men, yet also so adept at handling them, looks so satisfied. Which means I now have a duty to satisfy you, it seems. An important mission, as it were. Oh, he looks confident, Nana thinks to herself, but plenty of people who act confident end up being bad in bed. That's right, sir. My body pretty much belongs to Satoru, but you have to at least make me feel good. It's not fair otherwise. Then I shall have to put my best effort into meeting your expectations. Wow, that's a big cock. Nana looks at the erection towering from Kinnison's crotch with round eyes. Not only is it thick, it's even studded with a few fleshy bumps. It's like it was designed solely to satisfy women. That explains why Ayusha looks the way that she does. Of course, his technique must be good enough to match this thing. Are you comparing me to your boyfriend? Nana regards the commander with a sullen glare. She knows well enough that there's such a thing as sexual compatibility that can't be measured by physical attributes. No more of that. I'm feeling pretty guilty about this, you know. If you tease me like that, I can't focus on having sex. I suppose that's true. You're not wrong, Second Lieutenant. Moving as if to sample it, Nana takes his raging cock and brushes it off against her soft bush before pushing it into her soft folds. It's so hot and hard and thick, it's really impressive. You really don't run into cocks like this too often. I feel bad for Satoru, but I'm starting to look forward to this. But are you sure you don't want me to give you a blowjob, Commander? I could give you a tit job, too. Her tone implies that if his cock is this good, she's willing to give him that little something extra. Do you take pride in your breasts? Nana puffs out her chest, causing her large, perky bosoms to visibly jiggle. Heh, Satoru always says I'm all tits and no brain.
I like them, though.
Kinnison's fingers firmly grab on to both of her breasts. Ah, oh, that's too rough all of a sudden. Oh, he's good, Nana thinks to herself. The way he's probing for her sensitive points proves he's not just a selfish lover. You're sensitive, exceptional performance, but given how touchy you are, will you be able to fight with his special enhancement gear on? He tugs on her supple breasts, which easily allow themselves to be stretched into round shapes. They jiggle happily in his hands. Nana feels a thumping in the depths of her womb. Ah, the alien is throbbing too. I told you it's sensitive, but compared to when Satoru told me to sit in class with a vibrator on, this is nothing. As she speaks, she rubs the puffy heels of her pussy against his raging cock. Her soft pubes brush against his rock-hard erection. Kinnison begins grinding his hips up and down as if to match her movements, making his tip stimulator slit. The way he's capable of matching her proves his experience, too. It makes Nana that much more certain she's just hit the jackpot when it comes to sexual partners. Her belly throbs with even greater excitement. Oh, It's like, you're good at this. Even your cock feels like it's used to this. I can tell you've made a lot of girls squeal. Nana rubs harder against him. The bittersweet aroma of sweat wafts up from her body. Their moist genitals rub together, producing wet, obscene noises. I've been devoted to my duties. In the process, I've consumed and used up countless people. Many of them were reduced to tears. Oh, so he made a lot of girls cry. Maybe they were crying with joy, purring like cats in heat. Either way, it sounds like she's in trouble. He's like, ah, your voice is so thick when you say that. You're cool. I can hear it all the way into my belly. Ah, Commander, you're so good. He gropes her nipples and pushes his thick, hot flesh against her vulva. Nana's eyes moisten as she provocatively bucks her waist. Love juices seep from her vagina, moistening his cock. This, too, is a necessary mission. Her clitoris pricks up expectantly as the belly of a shaft rubs against it time and time again. It makes her impatiently crave more. Nana, you're so good. If this is a mission, give me this duty anytime you want. I love it. She now understands why Yusha and the other girls would be in love with this cock. She hasn't even put it in yet, but she already feels this good. She gets the impression that if this were to happen to Minori, though, it'd crush her spirit. Missions must only be completed when necessary. They're not to be assigned on a whim. Commander, you're so, serious. It feels good when you rub my clit like that. It feels good. Keep going. Kinnison shifts his waist downward, realizing what he intends. Nana lifts her own waist up, allowing his cock to slip smoothly into her folds. This is amazing, Commander. I can't believe you're so good at this. Her vagina swallows up Kinnison's dick down to the roots, squeezing on it mercilessly, wring it out. Second Lieutenant, I see your performance here is satisfactory. You cling and coil around me. But at the same time, the bumps on his penis mercilessly dig into and stimulate all the weak spots in Nana's vagina. Boo, you're so what? Boo, you're so relaxed about this. This is great. It's so thick, but it's all hard and rugged. It's amazing. Nana actually feels a bit disappointed. It feels like she's the only one enjoying this. She assertively bucks her waist, squeezing down on his long, thick cock from tip to base. Love juices overflow from the point of connection, covering his penis and grinding in a wet sheen. Have you forgotten that this is a mission? Don't you remember your boyfriend, Sitaru? He's teasing her. It's fine, I'm having sex with you, Commander. As if intensifying the pace, Nana initially set with the bucking of her hips, Kinnison begins to move as well. Their genitals intertwine deep within Nana's body. The tip of his swollen dick rampages inside her, poking at the CC and tissue inside her. At this point, the organ functions as a gigantic erogenous zone. So thick, it's like you're filling my belly up. Her body fills with joy and ecstasy. His cock quite literally hits the spot. Sitaru could never pull anything like this off, even if she were to run him ragged in bed. Her lower half burns with heat. The more she moves, the more intense the pleasure becomes. At this point, his cock is the only thing she could think about. This cock, it's amazing. Cock, cock, cock! As that member thrusts into her, simultaneously urging her onward and tormenting her, its name echoes through her mind. Just when she thinks she's getting used to his deep thrust, he draws back as if to pull her vagina closer to him, starting to focus his rubbing near her entrance. Commander, I think you got the wrong job. This thing, it can destroy any girl. Nothing else matters to Nana anymore. She squeezes her eyes shut, focusing her senses on the cock rampaging through her genitals. All else is trivial by comparison. Sweat drips down her limbs and her breathing has become ragged, but Nana still puts her heart and soul into her thrust. This is too good. Too good, I'm gonna burn up. Gonna come. Her messy hair and voluptuous breasts shake and waver, showering droplets of sweat into the air. Her sweet womanly scent hangs like a fog around them. Wet splashing noises emanate from their entwined genitals, echoing loudly through the room. You're wonderful, Second Lieutenant. You haven't destroyed many enemies, but your performance is impressive. It seems like the commander wasn't taking her seriously before now. Only after he says that does he begin thrusting up into her like a jackhammer. Her body jolts from the hot, intense impacts. Break me, you're gonna break me! Nana's back bends so far backwards that it thrusts out the undersides of her large, sweat-drenched breasts. Her body twitches in spasms, but all the same, the commander's huge dick continues thrusting into her. She writhes in the throes of sexual climax, gasping for air, but soon enough, she's bucking her waist once again. You're gonna give me more? Yes, good. Keep going. I love your cock, Commander. Nana willingly sucks on Kinnison's lips. Some part of her realizes that she's been completely unfaithful, but that's fine with her. After all, Sitara bangs other girls all the time. Does he now? Commander. She's good, she thinks to herself. The Commander's a good kisser. Feeling him lick and suck on her mouth makes her feel even better. He thrusts at her from below while pleasuring her mouth from above. Sweet lethargy overcomes Nana. It's like her entire body's become a lump of pleasure. Her breath turns ragged as the rupture becomes difficult to bear. Once her lips part, his quick pumping begins driving her into a loud climax. I'm coming, gonna come! She orgasms again. She feels like she can keep on coming from this forever and ever and ever. April 5th! A rumor is beginning to spread among the cathedral's special warfare troopers. Those who die and are revived on the battlefield are given the special enhancement gear and are thus reborn into an entirely different kind of being. The truth behind the tales is, of course, hardly so poetic. Second Lieutenant, Nina Kasaragi, step forward. Okay, oops, I mean, yes, ma'am. As Minori watches Nana run forward over to the podium, mixed feelings fill her heart. How can this be happening? Why are so many people praising her colleague for having to put on that awful device? Second Lieutenant Nana Kasaragi, I hereby grant you the Type 08 Special Enhancement Gear. Please confirm that everything is in order. Yes, sir. The troopers who once laughed and sneered at those receiving the special enhancement gear are now, at this point, completely silent. Part of the reason for that is because four of the six officers Academy alumni who mocked Alusha have since been forced to shamefully equip the special enhancement gear in front of everyone. The shows they put on were markedly more shameful than Ayusha's. Incidentally, the remaining two alumni died in battle before they could be given the special enhancement gear. Another explanation for their lack of scorn could be that of both the former civilians and the alumni of the Officers Academy, about 80% of each group have already received the special enhancement gear. Have you confirmed the case's contents? Yes, sir. Then try it on immediately. Yes, sir. Nana hurries over to the locker room with a spring in her step. Minori can't understand why Nana seems to be looking forward to this. No amount of ignorance can make those devices seem like anything but a sex toy. Ever since Ayusha and the aforementioned four publicly equipped the devices while in front of an audience, the other troopers have since been approved to retire to the locker rooms to equip them. This could be another reason why the atmosphere around this matter has changed. Two other girls are called forward after Nana. They, too, are given cases with the special enhancement gear and are told to confirm that everything is in order. As they inspect the devices, their expressions turn a bit awkward, but still, rather than acting disgusted, they look relieved. They're now part of the majority. Their chances of survival are now that much higher. And indeed, in the month that followed since the Yusha first began to use it, the only ones who have died in combat have been troopers without the special enhancement gear. Hee hee, how do I look? Nana whispers to Minori after returning from the locker room. Minori only thinks she looks horrible. How can she accept being treated like this and just accept it like nothing's wrong? Her bountiful breasts and plump crotch are on full display. The black devices only serve to make her nipples stand out even more prominently. Somehow, this terrible outfit accentuates her sensually more than being naked does. Minori can't help but feel appalled. There's no way this can be allowed. She wishes she could confront Nana by saying she'll put a stop to this by complaining to the higher-ups. Nana does look a bit bashful, but only as much as a girl might wearing racy lingerie. In fact, she even seems a bit proud about it somehow. You've got nothing to worry about. You were a nympho to begin with, so it fits you just fine. Huh? You think? I mean, the hornier you are, the stronger you get here, so it's a little embarrassing, but now I'm officially Super Nana. Nana then sneaks a glance toward Minori and says shyly, "Sorry, Minori, I got it before you did. I don't want this thing," Minori thinks to herself. "Don't apologize." She nearly says it out loud, but stops herself. "But don't worry, Minori, you're kicking a lot of alien butt, so I'm sure you'll get it soon. Don't let it get you. Don't let it get to you, rather." "But thanks, I hope so." Minori can't help but mentally scold her friend inside her head. "This is messed up. No one could be fine walking around like this. Only a freak would be happy to get this. What's wrong with all of you?" By now, any special warfare trooper that doesn't have the gear is pitied by others. After all, the troopers who aren't using it are dying one by one. Over the last month, it seems that the CC have been growing fiercer. The new umbrella types, UMB as they've now been designated, are far stronger. Even the ordinary flyers are becoming more aggressive. But now, Minori's attacks can no longer damage the UMB skin. Slaying the FBs with just one blow is also becoming increasingly difficult. Minori's overall war record still remains in the top 10 overall. But when looking at the past week, just the past week, the troopers with the highest skill kill counts have all had the special enhancement gear. Would she have to put on that terrible device after all? Would she have to become more sexual? More lewd? Minori imagines herself equipping the Type 8 special enhancement gear. She imagines herself bearing her new body, which is so much uglier than her roommate's, exposing her nipples, thrusting that device into her vagina and anus, her aroused, disheveled expression as it stimulates her clit. Her body curls up with fear and shame, even though she doesn't have the device on. But at the same time, she has to realize that little by little, her thoughts have already begun to warp. But she was posted here. She would never... Blah, 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 blah. Before she was posted here, she would never have been able to wear a special warfare trooper's revealing combat suit. Yet, now she wears it almost naturally. At this point, she doesn't even feel the need to make excuses, like saying it lets her feel the space around her more acutely. It's happening to her more slowly than it is for the other officers, but gradually and inexorably, Minori's state of mind is changing. April 11th. Minori drinks in the sensations of the surrounding space through her skin. It feels a bit lukewarm, but Purgatorio's activity is lax, and the sector they're in is close to the cathedral. Flying through outer space without a spacesuit is a peculiar sensation since the texture of her outfit is as thin as water. However, she's used to it by now. This is just a standard patrol. But she feels a Yusha and Nana fly ahead of her. As she feels a Yusha and Nana fly ahead of her, Minori thinks to herself, is the way they perceive outer space different from how she perceives it? She knows it can fly faster than her, but they're slowing down so she can keep up. Their consideration only weighs down her heart. Yesterday, Choyuten from G3 died in battle. She was one of the last two troopers who weren't using the special enhancement gear. This leaves Minori as the only one who doesn't have it. Choyuten forced her way through enemy lines, only to become isolated, surrounded, and slain by a group of CC. Yet Minori thinks she can understand how Choyuten must have felt. Her position within G3 had been that of an offensive vanguard. Under pressure to improve her record, her haste had led her to become separated from her group. Minori had never spoken to her, but she thinks that Choyuten must have felt the same way. Her attitude made it clear that she was an alumnus of the Officer's Academy. She was serious to a fault and always wore a uniform even when off-duty. A few days ago, she seemed to be brooding about something. Does Minori look the same way now? MBAC, MBAC, this is G14. CC detected beginning offensive maneuvers. Yusha's report is completely routine. There they are. But there's too few of them. One enemy unit. One UMB and six FBs. However, one of the FBs seems to be lagging behind the rest. Only at this point do Minori's senses pick up the group of CC. She can feel the one UMB and five of the FBs. However, she can't feel the sixth one yet. It only serves as a reminder of how much weaker she is compared to the other two. Letting out a suggestive moan, Yusha deploys her bits from her arms. They fire two beams at the approaching enemy unit, which converge on the white umbrella protecting the FBs. The attacks converge, impacting against the white parasol. No way! It dodged? No, instead the umbrella underlays like a jellyfish and veers away, avoiding the beams. Huh? Yusha fires three more attacks, but it dodges the first shot of the burst just as easily. When the next two shots approach it, it molted its skin? No! Now that the umbrella has come closer, Minori can see it clearly. Some kind of white powder just gushed from the UMB's parasol. It reminds her of a thick cloud of fungal spores. It reeks like mold-covered rag. Or like a mold-covered rag. It's emitting particulate from its skin. It diffuses the beams and deflects the energy across a wider area. The beams the bits fired are weakened. They slightly char the white surface of the parasol, but that's it. I guess they're trying to come up with countermeasures against us too. How about this then? Ah! Letting out a seductive scream, Yusha fires a pillar of light against the UMB. It dodged it again. The white parasol contracts into itself like some kind of magic trick, shrinking itself down to avoid the beam. Damn it, I can't even hear any screams, and since I can't see them, I can't hit any of the FB behind it either. MBAC, this is G14. The enemy UMB seems to have adapted new tactical measures, requesting reinforcements urgently. Oh no! Can you hear it? It's pretty far, but... I think at least two other groups have made contact with the enemy. Minori can't hear anything, not even a single noise. A sense of panic and unease begins to smolder in her heart. Nana, stop it from moving! Ayusha, cover me! Huh? But shouldn't we retreat at a time like this? I don't think any other groups are coming to help us. Minori, stay calm. We don't know if this is the only new tactic they're using. We should wait and look for a... We can use what it just did against us. You fire at it to make it close its canopy, and then I'll charge in and get behind it. It's a variation of a tactic they've used before. Nana would stall the enemy, Yusha would tear a hole into the UMB, and then Minori would charge in and destroy the FBs. So it's basically the same as cutting a hole into it. Roger that. I'm still a little worried, but Roger. Minori, don't go too far. Minori is at the point where Nana needs to worry about her. She says it naturally, like it's only expected that Minori needs to be babysat that way. Even Minori isn't so forgiving that she doesn't feel anything from being treated that way. Thanks, Nana. Minori is kind enough, however, to still barely spit out those words of gratitude. Wow! Ah, yes, Satoru, more and more, ah, like that, yes, ah! Letting out a moan so coquettish it nearly makes Minori blush even in the middle of battle, Nana bolts forward at breakneck speeds. She blitzes past Minori, drawing towards the UMB. Can't you get into the mood without getting off to your ex's name, you freak? Minori can't help but agree. This is a weird battle scene. He's not my... you're amazing. So deep. A brilliant aurora-like shield forms around Nana, clashing against the tip of the parasol. It only sinks slightly into the alien's body, but it does seem to repel its white skin. Minori focuses her consciousness firmly on the white canopy. She accelerates as if her body is being tugged forward by some powerful force. As she speeds up, the lukewarm, moist sensation of the space around her grows thicker. It's like slimy fingertips are coiling and caressing her skin, crotch, and nipples. The more strength she exerts, the more sexual the space around her feels. The arouser fills her with shame, flaring up the feelings of hatred and inferiority she holds towards her body. And during the shame, while burning with flames of obscene lust, she rockets her body forward. No, Satoru, not so rough! A part of this shield transforms into the shape of a hammer, letting Nana start raining blows onto the UMB's white skin. She packs impressive strength in close quarters combat. Each blow gradually gouges into the UMB's canopy as it struggles to continually regenerate itself. Seeing Nana's brave battle strokes Minori's own resolve, wetting her desire for combat. The alien tissue within her belly pulsates hard, writhing non-stop. A lustful heat burns through her body as her sweat-drenched skin turns sensitive. The space around her gropes her erogenous zones, her vagina trembles as shameful nectar seeps it from within it. Her red lips part weakly, allowing the moans she's been suppressing with all her might to finally leak out. Her nipples throb so hard with longing that it's borderline painful. Flames reminiscent of solar flares coil around her limbs, forming spirals around them as they transform into a broadsword 10 times her height. Minori, I've got a big one incoming, just like you asked, so don't miss this chance. Ayusha's voice and moans echo inside Minori's head. It reminds her of how Ayusha's gorgeous body looked in that sweet moment of lovemaking, her hips and fingers and genitals, how softly her folds caressed Minori's own. Letting out a moan louder than any of those Minori had heard in her other while they were in bed together, Ayusha unleashes a blinding bolt of lightning that streaks past Minori. Just as Minori expected, the white parasol contracts to avoid that flash. Minori moves in the attack's wake, passing through the space that the folded-up umbrella vacated to slip behind it. She swings her burning sword through the space behind the UMB. Huh? But her attack cuts through nothing more than empty vacuum of space. They're not there. The FB aren't hiding behind the UMB. When she sees ahead of her isn't the darkness of outer space, instead something massive stands in her way. Several tube-like presences seem to form a wall in front of her. Is she looking at the UMB's rear? But how? She only just moved around it a second ago. She doesn't understand the situation, but she can tell she's in danger. She quickly changes the trajectory before colliding with the wall, trying to make a U-turn and escape, but two FBs appear in front of her. No, it's not just in front of her. They appear to her side and two more below her. Her attempt to quickly escape made her disperse the power of her flaming weapon. Minori's effectively defenseless. They weren't hiding behind the FB's parasol. They were lying in wait, clinging to its back. The moment Minori turned around and lowered her guard, they moved in to attack her. She doesn't have the time to form another weapon or dodge away. The five FBs thrust their penis-like organs forward, driving them into Minori from five different directions. She tries to deploy a shield, but unlike Nana's, it's feeble and weak. They tear through it in a single strike like it's little more than wet paper, diving their disgusting organs closer in order to gouge her into her defenseless body. They were hiding by clinging to the back of the UMB's parasol. I'm under attack, requesting assistance. The fact that she can call for reinforcements without screaming is impressive, but it's unlikely that her situation is going to get any better. In fact, it's only becoming worse. Her two comrades don't answer her call for help. No, it's not that they don't answer her. She can't feel the space around her at all. The white parasol curls up, shaping itself into a massive globe that isolates Minori from the space outside, trapping her together with five FBs. She has no hope of being rescued, and her shield is already destroyed in the blink of an eye. The only thing that protects her is her fragile body, her special warfare gear's flimsy combat suit. Is this where she's gonna die, raped by the terrible, disgusting monsters that slaughtered her family? I won't give up. I'm gonna survive. If she could just redeploy her special warfare gear's weapons. The Holy Grail in her womb answers her will. She can feel the CC tissue pulsating, but now with every second counts, it all comes a moment too late. The FB's penis-like organs approach Minori, unleashing a foul, suffocating stench that envelops her. As if reacting to it, the CC tissue in her belly begins bearing that much faster. What is this? No! A sweet, numbing stimulus shoots through her clitoris and nipples. An unusual sensation pushes through the thin fabric of her combat suit, causing hot love juices once again begin seeping through her vagina. What's going on? No, don't toy with me. It reminds her of when Callahan violently molested her, or the shame of being assaulted or having sexual pleasure forced out of her. But now her molester isn't even human. Her body shivers with pure disgust and aversion. But the tendrils ignore her emotions, penetrating a resistant female body and attempt to discipline and mold her to their needs. Discarding her composure, she reflexively thrashes and struggles, before she even knows that her limbs have been ensnared by the tentacles, pinning her down and preventing her from moving. That's not the end of it. They pull on her with such force she can feel her tendons and bones creaking painfully. The tentacles that close in on her are covered in some sort kind of mucus that gives off a thick, stuffy stench. It bears a striking resemblance to the combined scents of semen and masculine musk. The scent makes her mind go numb. The CC tissue inside her throbs once again, causing her vagina to begin dripping intensely. Minori tries to shake off their hold on her, but as a human, she's no match for these space monsters. Her pointless struggle only serves to sap her stamina and make her sweat profusely. The tentacles' flabby tips crawl over her body, smearing a lubricant pus all over her skin. It seems to somehow nullify her force field, causing the tips of her breastplate to become transparent. That's when she feels something wet touch directly on her lips. No! Despite her feelings of disgust, her nipples grow erect. A soft sensation persistently slithers over them as if committing their shape to memory together with the hot tentacles crawling over her. They don't just stop at her breasts. The tentacles finally move on to her exposed buttocks and crotch. Her pubic hair drips lewdly with mucus. Heat fills Minari's body as if it understands that encroaching advances. A sweet numbness runs through every part of her body. Both of the tentacles' behavior and her own body's reactions fill Minori's heart with disgust. Goosebumps rise up across her skin, but as if to contradict that reaction, the CC tissue ignites her feminine desires. Each time the tentacles squeeze her clitoris, her inner thighs spasm as if to display the pleasure shooting through her nerves. The constant teasing makes her virginal vagina open up with the expectation displaying its salivating crimson folds. Her anus, which has been repeatedly slathered with mucus, opens and closes invitingly. She's completely terrified. She hates her body for seething with passion against her will, and she loves the tentacles for forcing this desire on her. Panic dominates the entirety of her thoughts as she struggles but escape is no longer a possibility. By now, the tentacles are creeping over her neck and face, writhing over every bit of exposed skin they can find. They completely rob her of any freedom her body still has. The tentacles crawl up to her thighs, finally parting her folds open and creeping into her vagina. Her gaping genitals are by now as flushed as those of a licentious woman, moist and gleaming with love juices. Her body is that of a woman yielding to a man. Some of the tentacles happen upon her asshole and pride open as well, exposing the red, shining tunnel of her intestines. Minori lets out meaningless howls as she struggles and writhes, but the tentacles don't allow her to escape. The only parts of her that still can move are quivering in her thighs. Perhaps it's because it's annoyed with her screams or simply to plug a newly discovered hole, a tentacle plunges into her shrieking mouth, robbing her of the freedom to scream. As if that were a signal, tentacles of multiple sizes start penetrating her every orifice. While her throat tries to spit out the tentacle penetrating her mouth, the tendril expands within her windpipe as if trying to burst out of her neck from the inside. As Minori chokes, her eyes roll back into her skull. Her eyes are no longer those of a living human being. But the tentacles don't care, pushing into her rectum. The slender ones forcibly invade her tips of her nipples, invading her body through there like the root systems of new seedlings. Small, nematode-like tentacles are just barely visible as they crawl underneath her sweaty skin. They swell up, forming what looks like a mesh inside her flesh. They invade her ears, making her earlobes twitch and spasm. Blood spurts out. They've reached her brain. Her bloodshot, upturned eyes no longer see anything. Small, slender tentacles creep into her eye sockets, rendering them into her bloody holes bereft of physiological function. Her skin spasms eerily, the tentacles' movements rendering her invisible from the outside. Finally, a massive tentacle pushes its way into her open crotch. It's too big to fit inside, tearing through the entirety of her perineum while forcing its way through. The crunching sound of her body being ripped apart seems to register somewhere in her mind. The pain is likely beyond description. She's being completely butchered while still alive. Her consciousness flickering out would be a blessing. Her body trembles and violently twists, but the tentacles holding her in place won't allow her even the slightest movement. All that remains for her is bottomless pain. Her belly blows up to grotesque proportions as blood gushes through from her torn vagina, evidence that her internal organs are being crushed. Except for the occasional convulsion within her flesh, her body doesn't so much as budge. At this point, she's nothing more than a lump of flesh leaking out blood. Her legs jut from her body at unnatural angles. Her hip joints have been shattered. A thick, fat tentacle forces itself into the base of her bent legs. Crunching sound of breaking bone heralds the sundering of her pelvis. Blood overflows from the red holes of her penetrated eyes, sockets, and mouth. Every part of her under her skin is being destroyed. At some point during this long, agonizing process, Minoru Iizuka died. It would be the greatest tragedy if she were still alive. For a moment, it looks like her fresh blood is gushing from her womb. It looks like fresh blood is gushing from her womb. But then the CC organ is freed from the confines of her body. Exposed to the chill of space and covered in blood, the CC organ drags torn viscera and membranes in its wake. It spasms wildly, as if reveling in this mad banquet. And so, another Special Warfare Trooper is consumed and destroyed. Just as many Special Warfare Troopers before her have been, and many others after her will be. Dead end. That's the bad end, folks. How far are we? 25%. Wow, it's a lot more in the game then, isn't there? I mean, there's not that many. Scene viewer. All chapters, 22%. What is this? Oh, okay. So, no, there's more. Wow, there's a lot of scenes. Commander, you're so good. Trap B and recovery. Yeah. It's actually a pretty long game then, isn't it? But there's only two ways to get the bad ending, and then there's just two more endings. It must be long, though. Load data. Going to masturbation. And I believe it's if I use this. So let's see if this is skip mode. Nope. Okay, so here's where we're at now. Obviously we're gonna throw in skip mode because we wanna make sure that, you know. But, yeah, that's gonna be it for the, long Grimm's Hentai Corner. And, we split this into two, so it wouldn't be so long. But, yeah, we're gonna be going towards the end next. And, there's two endings. We'll go through both of them. At any rate, this is the Grimlord, and I'm out, and I'll see you next time on Grimm's Hentai Corner with Dead End.